Marilyn Dixon, can you explain to people who are not very familiar with the UNCLOS program and the Extended Continental Shelf program, what it is and what work you do for it?
Canada ratified the United Nations Convention of the Law of the Sea in 2003. And as party to that agreement, we had an obligation to map our extended continental shelf. The continental shelf is the submerged landmass. It's part of the continent, but it's underwater, and it extends offshore. And so we are tasked in the UNCLOS program, which is in Natural Resources Canada, Department of Fisheries of Oceans Canada, and Global Affairs Canada, to map the continental shelf, that part of the continent, beyond 200 nautical miles offshore. And we do that using different methods. We use bathymetry to measure the shape of the seafloor. We measure, we use geophysical tools to measure the sediment thickness. We use other acoustic tools to look at the shape of the seafloor and the composition below the seabed. What type of rocks are there? Are they continental rocks, or are they what we call oceanic rocks, part of the deep seafloor?
What is it that you need to prove in order to be able to extend that continental shelf beyond the 200 nautical miles limit?
We need to be able to prove that the submerged area beyond 200 nautical miles offshore is connected back to the continent, back to the Canadian landmass. And so we use a variety of mapping tools to ascertain that the area beyond 200 nautical miles belongs to the continent, is part of it.
So, and so where is the research at now?
The research right now is Canada submitted its claim for the Atlantic Extended Continental Shelf in 2013 to the United Nations Commission on the Limits of the Continental Shelf. And at that time, we indicated that in the near future, we would submit a full claim for our part of the Arctic Ocean. That work has been ongoing in the Arctic since 2006. As you can imagine, it's a very harsh environment. The amount of time that we can go up north, up into the high Arctic to do our work is very limited to 6 to 8 weeks in the summer. And because it's a challenging environment, Canada has used various methods to collect data. We've set up ice islands on several occasions, ice camps on the ice up north. We've also used icebreakers to collect data. And when you use icebreakers, you need two icebreakers. You need one icebreaker breaking ice in front of the ship that's collecting the data, because we're going through ice that's meters thick, 2-3 meters thick. So as you can imagine, it's harsh. We're towing instruments through this broken ice. And so it's been a real development of technology to develop instruments that can withstand being towed through broken ice and collect high-quality data.
And so how far are we from submitting our claim?
We are close. We worked in the Western Arctic and Canada Basin to measure sediment thickness between 2007 and 2011. And we've had cruises, research cruises in the Eastern Arctic off of Ellesmere Island in 2014 and 2015. And we'll have our last survey this year in 2016. And once that survey is collected, then we'll go into a data analysis and interpretation phase and then start looking at the data to develop the outer limits to define that extended continental shelf.
And what's our deadline?
Well, there is no deadline. The United Nations Convention of the Law of the Sea, we don't have a deadline per se, but we will get a submission filed as soon as we can, as soon as we have compiled the scientific evidence that builds the case for Canada's extended continental shelf area. We will get that in as soon as we can.
Now, Russian officials announced last week that their submission will be heard by the Commission on the Continental Shelf. And we know that their submission includes all the way up to the North Pole. In previous reports, we knew that Canada, as well as Denmark and Greenland, are also kind of trying to see if they can connect their continental shelves all the way to the North Pole. What's happening there?
Well, we have collected data, and we will develop it as best we can to make the scientific case. And we expect that we will overlap with Denmark and Russia.
And then what happens there?
Then any overlaps between neighboring states, it's by bilateral negotiations.
Mm-hmm. So
the UN Commission does not say one country is more entitled to a certain area than another.
Now, these are the areas that are known as the Lomonosov Ridge or the Mendeleev Ridge. Can you explain to people what these are?
These are, the Lomonosov Ridge and the Alpha Ridge are underwater mountain chains that extend. The Lomonosov Ridge extends from off of Ellesmere Island and goes right across the Arctic Ocean to the Russian side. And the same with the Alpha Mendeleev Ridge extends from Canada across to Russia.
And so you expect that your data will show that our continental shelf goes all the way to the North Pole as well?
We have the data quality that we've collected over the last several years, like I said, in very harsh, trying conditions through heavy ice, is excellent quality, and I expect that we will be able to make a scientifically justified case for Canada, yes.
Hmm. Now, Canada has had to, from what I understand, partner with other nations to be able to conduct this research. Is that true?
All Arctic nations partner with each other. Like I said, it's a harsh environment with very few weeks of time that you can go and survey up north. So all Arctic countries have collaborated. We've collaborated with the U.S. We've collaborated with Denmark. This summer we'll be collaborating with Sweden. So that's normal. It's part of how you do science. Everybody brings different perspectives, different expertise, different knowledge to a problem, and it's a very good thing.
Hmm.
We all work together on a scientific problem. Well, I think the thing to understand is that the Canadian UNCLOS program is a science-driven program. Not only are we defining the outer limits of Canada's extended continental shelf, but we're doing fundamental science that will improve our knowledge of the evolution of the Arctic Ocean and its history. And I think that's a great legacy for this program. The Arctic Ocean, although it's the smallest ocean in the world, is the least studied because of, as I've said, the conditions are so harsh. You have such a short window of time to go up and do your research. The equipment has to be specialized and able to work in very cold water, in ice conditions, and you're measuring the data through thousands of meters of a water column. So, it's been a huge undertaking, not only for the scientists but for the technicians that have developed this equipment. And I guess I would say, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And Canada does this research very well, and the data that we have collected is exceptional quality. I think better than any of us had ever expected to see. So we've done a good job, and we'll finish up this summer, and then we'll do the analysis and the write-up. The submission to the UN Commission will be several thousands of pages. It's not a short document. We have to build the case, and we're prepared to do it, and we've got the people on the team to do the work.